This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 23rd, 2026. Renew your mind. Gospel hope for mental health. Wounds.
You ready to talk about the gospel this morning, church? Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a great day. I see Barry put tissues on the couch today because we're talking about wounds. So, yeah, get ready. Here we go. long time ago, I had a seminary professor who opened up our very first class with an illustration, never going to forget. He had a rock, so ordinary looking rock, and he said, what would you do with this rock if you saw it on the sidewalk as you're walking to class this morning? And then as each of us introduced ourselves, he made us say what we would do with this rock. And we sort of just kind of struggled to answer his odd icebreaker question while we got to know each other. And the rock went all the way around the room. And then he took the rock and set it aside. And he brought out another rock. But this one was split open. And inside of it was this sparkling array of crystals. Ah, it was a geode. You ever see a geode before? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. His point was, of course, after we had just introduced ourselves, every person you encounter is like that geode. They might look exceptionally ordinary, but every single person has a much bigger story inside. Inside, there is an intricate, complicated, beautiful, broken story to every person you walk past, including yourself. Every person, when you look inside, you're going to find beauty and brokenness. So that brings us to kind of a heavy topic in our series. We have been talking about mental health, renew your mind, gospel hope for mental health throughout August. And we've talked about these basic categories of our mind. We've talked about thoughts, feelings, habits, and today we're going to talk about a really important part of mental health, wounds. We're talking about wounds. I learned this week that the word trauma actually comes from the Greek word for wounds. Did you know that? So when we talk about trauma, it's an old Greek word that just means wounds. And, you know, trauma today has become such a common topic that people talk about that some of us get a little, maybe we get a little weary hearing about it, all right? I think maybe sometimes our culture is guilty of a lot of navel-gazing. Sometimes maybe a little too much navel-gazing, so I think it's fair to say that. But at the same time, this is real. Wounds are real. Big wounds, small wounds, obvious wounds, more subtle wounds. It's a part of mental health for all of us. And you might be somebody who doesn't particularly struggle with this. You wouldn't necessarily identify yourself as someone who's experienced trauma. You wouldn't identify as someone who's been deeply wounded. Maybe thank God you've lived a relatively unscathed life, and you can praise God for that if that's really not part of your story. Maybe your wounds have been, kind of surface level, and you've been able to move past them pretty easily. That might be you. Or at the same time, you might be somebody who's been deeply wounded. You could be somebody that your story has been profoundly impacted by different types of wounds throughout your life. That could be you. And there's a lot of room in the middle, too. There's a lot of room in the middle in all these like complicated stories that we have, right? Wherever you're at, the fact is this impacts you. It impacts you personally. It impacts people you love. It impacts the people you walk by on the street without even knowing it. And the Bible has plenty to say about it. The gospel has lots of hope for it. So we are going to talk about it, whether you like it or not. Now, if you just take a second to think, you know, psychologically, because this whole series, we're kind of delving into some of this and comparing it with what we learned from Scripture. You know, how psychology frames this topic. If you do a little bit of research, which means, you know, Googling and discovering things, in my case. Some of you know a lot more about this and have studied a lot more about this. But if you do a little bit of research about how psychology frames this topic, you find definitions like this. A psychological wound or trauma is an emotional and cognitive injury resulting from an event or series of events that completely overwhelms an individual's ability to cope and process emotions. That is a more formal kind of clinical definition of a emotional psychological wound. And so we might think of clinical disorders like PTSD, chronic depression, generalized anxiety disorder, and things that often are the result of traumatic things people have been through. We might think of those sorts of things, and it's serious. It takes a lot of care from wise and well-trained people. Thank God for them. Choose them wisely. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. But that sort of thing, I think all of us are aware of. Psychologists also, though, talk about like broader categories of wounds, like not necessarily just the things that come from traumatizing events, but there's other sorts of wounds that anybody can probably relate to just in the normal flow of life, and things that affect a person's childhood, affect a person's personality development. And so there's a concept called core wounds, which identifies five common types that most people can in some sense like emotionally relate to. And so they talk about things like abandonment, rejection, betrayal, injustice, humiliation. These are types of core wounds, common things that in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a school bully or some argument you had, or you know, all sorts of things we experience through life, okay? And it shapes us, it affects us. And you know, the causes of wounds can be different. There are interpersonal causes. In other words, when somebody personally wounds you, really horrible, really painful. There's also like circumstantial causes, where it's not necessarily anybody's fault, but it's just through this world, like grief or loss, an accident, an event. Those things can cause wounds and traumatic things too. So, you know, there's just a whole lot here. There's a whole lot here. And we don't have time to get into it all, okay? Nor am I the expert. But I just want to get you thinking about this pretty broad category of wounds and hopefully convince you that in some way, shape, or form, this relates to you. I know some of you are like, oh yeah, I know. But others of you, maybe you haven't thought about it a lot. So I just want to show you this relates to all of us now that we can go and open up the scriptures and say, okay, well, what is the gospel hope that Jesus offers us in this category? Because I don't think I have to convince you that this is just very relevant to our world and our culture in this moment, let alone all humanity, right? So let's go to the gospel now that we've thought about this important topic, as we always do. I know that was kind of a long introduction, but, you know, big topic. So let's just say a prayer and open up the word, okay? Lord Jesus, we just invite you into this time and this moment. We know you're already here, but we also know the word says you stand at the door and knock and you wait for us to open it. So we are going to open the door, Jesus, and let you in to these very complicated, sensitive, unique stories that all of us have. And we are going to ask, Lord Jesus, that by the power of the cross, you would meet us in our places of brokenness and bring life and healing by the power of your blood and by your personal presence. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray, and God's people say, Amen. Okay, open up your Bible if you have it on your phone or look at the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 to 25, very short passage. The
The Apostle Peter writes about Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Ah, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Can you say thanks be to God?
Yeah.
The short little passage from Peter, a follower of Jesus, one of the inner circle, an apostle. It's like gospel 101, right? If you've heard the gospel, if you've accepted the gospel, if you've lived the gospel, you've heard these phrases. This is gospel 101. And Peter is writing to this community of Christians, reminding them of these truths that are found throughout the Bible and how they all come together in Jesus Christ. So it's gospel 101, but the truth that is contained here is not just basic. It is ocean deep. I mean, Peter's talking about things that are ocean deep in the depths of God's grace that Christians through the ages have been looking into. And I suppose we're going to be marveling at these things for all eternity. When you just look at those two little sentences that Peter wrote, these are things we're going to be marveling at for all eternity. The way that Jesus gave us the great exchange for his perfect righteousness for our wickedness, right? The way he became a substitute, the sacrifice for our sin, the champion who triumphed over the grave, the way his wounds became the source of eternal life for us. Ocean depths of grace. More than ocean depths, infinite depths. And Peter was an eyewitness of all of it. And like Paul, like the other apostles, he died for this gospel. He gave his life for it. I think this is a great passage to discover gospel hope for our wounds because it so powerfully conveys the paradox that Jesus himself became wounded in order to heal our wounds. Maybe you noticed when you read this on the screen that in this translation, there's different translations, and so it might convey it just slightly differently. But in the NIV, it has a lot of quotes within the quotes. Did you notice the little like sentences, and it's like a quotation around it? It's because throughout this passage, Peter is quoting an Old Testament scripture found in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, an Old Testament prophet. It's a famous prophecy about the suffering servant. Have you heard about it? The suffering servant. If not, go home this week and read Isaiah chapter 53. There's your homework. It is an amazing scripture. And if you have trouble believing that the Bible is inspired by God, read Isaiah 53 and consider the fact that Isaiah wrote this 500 to 700 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And you're going to wonder, how the heck did he get that idea? Well, it's because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Here's what Isaiah 53, this part that Peter's quoting, says in fullness. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, shalom, wholeness, was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Peter and his fellow Jews knew this scripture by heart, and Peter and his fellow disciples saw it put on flesh and be fulfilled at Calvary in Jesus Christ. By his wounds, you have been healed. Now, we've heard this so many times, maybe a lot of us have, not all of us, but maybe a lot of us have heard this so many times that we just kind of stop thinking about how incredible this is and kind of wild this is, because that's actually kind of an interesting way to talk about salvation when you think about it. By his wounds, we have been healed. What does that mean? Because when we think about like sin and righteousness, like Peter was talking about in that verse, like I think we usually first think about forgiveness when we think about sin. And we typically think about like a moral and a legal framework. Like something was done wrong, something was broken, and it's got to be forgiven, right? I think that's the first thing we go to when we think about sin, righteousness, you know, breaking the rules, that kind of thing. And that's a very true and biblical way to think about salvation. Okay, I'm asking you to put your thinking caps on just a little bit. It's all going to make sense. Stay with me. That's a very good way to think about salvation. It's biblical. Like, for sure, we are guilty of breaking God's law, and we do need to be forgiven if we're going to be saved. Okay? But why does Peter then start talking about healing in the midst of all that? Like, it would be strange for us if we think about somebody breaking the law and then having their sentence pardoned to say, oh, that person was healed. We wouldn't connect those things normally. We wouldn't, like, go there. Okay? So what's going on in this passage? Well, the Bible doesn't just talk about salvation only in terms of that legal moral framework. The Bible also talks about salvation in terms of other ways in which Jesus saves us. Okay? It connects salvation with forgiveness, but it also connects salvation with healing. Are you staying with me? The Bible talks about salvation and forgiveness, but it also talks about salvation and healing. Think about the healing stories of Jesus. Sometimes when he would heal people, the times when he would heal their afflictions and at the same time he would forgive their sins. Think about how he not only addressed that person's like physical traumas, but his radical love would restore the whole person. It's all in there. And it's actually right in the word. The root of salvation, look at this word, salvation. The root of it is salve. That's like a healing ointment. So in the Bible's perspective, salvation is healing. Salvation is about not just the forgiveness of your soul, but the healing of your soul. The restoration of you as a person. That's what sanctification is too, okay? There is a connection, stay with me. There is a connection between salvation and healing because there's a connection between sin and wounds. When we break God's law, we kind of break ourselves too, and we break others. Okay, because when we miss the mark of how God designed things to work, that's the literal definition of sin, is missing the mark. When we miss that, things get damaged. And people get hurt. And sin is not just an action, but it's a condition we have. It's like a sickness of the soul. So again, I'm just trying to show you how sin connects with wounds and how salvation connects with healing and why Isaiah talks about how we are healed through the saving work of Christ. The reality is, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but sin and the effects of sin always leads to wounds. Sin and the effects of sin always leads to wounds. When you sin, it wounds you in some way, and oftentimes it wounds somebody else. When you experience the effects of sin, you know, in other words, this broken world, there's sickness, there's death, there's brokenness, there's tragedies. Like when you experience that, it wounds you. This fallen world traumatizes the soul. And so whenever you find a wound, somehow, it's connected with sin. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that every wound you have is because you did something wrong. A lot of times it's somebody else that sinned against you. But what I'm saying is in some way where there is a wound in your soul, in your life, in your inner life, it's connected with some kind of sin or the effects of sin. It might be Adam and Eve sin. Because when they sin, death, sickness, all that bad stuff enter the world, and it affects you and me, okay? So you see the connections now? We trace that? You get this? The point is, for redemption to happen, we need to be forgiven and we need to be healed. And here's the good news. Jesus is a healer. Amen. Can I say it again for the people in the back? Jesus is a healer.
Amen.
He's a healer. And he said this gospel is a gospel that is about the restoration of all things. When he talked about the kingdom come to his disciples once, he used the expression, the restoration of all things. Not just the outward stuff, the inner stuff too. The heart, the soul. Jesus is a healer. Through the ages, Christian teachers have looked into this. The ocean depths of God's grace, God's salvation. And they've talked about the same idea of what it means for Jesus to be the healer and the savior. And I think maybe it was best captured in a more recent teacher. Leanne Payne said this. I just want you to chew on this. She wrote, "The soul is healed through union with God." The soul is healed through union with God. What Jesus is doing in your salvation is about bringing you back into union with God. And it's through that union with God that your soul experiences healing. Salvation. By his wounds, you have been healed. Because by his wounds, that gulf of sin that once separated you has been covered so you can be with God again. Yeah? By his wounds, you have been healed, because by his wounds, the condemnation that you were under has been borne by the sinless Lamb of God. He's taking care of it. By his wounds, you have been healed, because on that cross, he fully identified with your human condition. He took on himself your sin, your sickness, your woundedness, your brokenness, so that he could take them to the grave and return with resurrection life. Can we preach the gospel here? Are you awake? Do you know it? It's good stuff. Don't forget it. Preaching to myself too. Always have to say that. We were lost like sheep without a shepherd. But because of Jesus, we get to be reunited with God, who is our true home and the place where we get healed. Okay? Some people stop at forgiveness and they never move on in this journey of all God has for them. They go, okay, I'm forgiven. I'm waiting for heaven. Jesus has so much more for you. Because he, once you begin that relationship with him, he wants to lead you through your life as your true shepherd on a journey where he transforms you from the inside out, including your wounds, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he can bring good things out of that which was meant for evil. Okay? We all have wounds. Because we all have sin and we all live in a fallen world. Some wounds are pretty minor and they've been tended to and you moved on. Some wounds are cripplingly severe, okay? And along with that, we all come from family systems and generations and stories where, like, the effects of sins and wounds get passed down in ways that we're often not even aware of. I sometimes talk to people, you know, in times of sharing and prayer and counseling, and they wonder, you know, like, I don't know why I have so much baggage. You know, I had good parents. I had a stable home. I didn't go through a particularly traumatic thing in my life, but I have all these issues and baggage. And I just go, you know, you live in a fallen world. Your parents might have been great, but they're still sinners like you and me. There are depths to every story. And we just got stuff that needs to be dealt with. Doesn't matter how good or how rough your background is. We got stuff. Jesus wants to deal with it with you through grace. not too long ago, like in my early 30s, I heard a story about my grandfather, my dad's dad, that I had never heard before, that changed how I thought about my whole family system of origin. I don't know if you ever had this experience, you know? You're like, I never heard that. And it's like, oh my goodness, I see things so differently. My grandfather was a good guy, World War II vet, got married, had three kids. My dad was the middle one. He worked hard. He came to Christ as an adult after he'd already started his family and everything. He loved his kids, loved us grandkids, but he wasn't exactly the kind of person you could get real close to, if you know what I mean. My grandfather was one of five kids himself, from a pretty stern Pennsylvania Dutch family. Any Pennsylvania Dutch in the house? I know we're close enough to that area. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you still know those random Pennsylvania Dutch words that pass down through your family. Gotta love it. I heard a few stories about his parents, like my great-grandparents, but I'd never met them. I didn't know hardly anything about them. So after my grandpa and my grandma had passed away, and you know, the kind of generations were moving on, and by the time I had four kids of my own, I heard this story for the first time about a deep wound, a story passed down in those kind of hushed conversations through my family to me. When my grandpa was a kid, like 12 years old, age of my daughter, his parents had a lot of troubles, and apparently his dad was pretty unstable and unfaithful. And his dad left his mom with the farm and the five kids for another mistress. And I don't know any of the specifics to this. I just heard about a day when my grandpa's mom, in desperation, loaded the five kids into the old family car and drove to confront their father where he was, to tell him to come back, to tell him they needed him. And so my grandpa, 12 years old, sitting in the car with his siblings, witnessed this generation-defining breakdown between their parents. And he witnessed his dad forcefully say, no, not coming back. And sent the whole family away to survive on their own. And he didn't come back. And I will never know just exactly how my grandpa felt in that moment. I don't know if he was angry, scared, heartbroken, like all that. I will never know just exactly how it affected him. Maybe until I see him and talk to him in heaven. But hearing that story for the first time left me deeply reflective and compassionate and heartbroken over the effects of sin in this world. And it made me wonder how that wound affected my grandfather as he grew and how it affected his kids and how it affected me. It also made me reflect on the healing power of Jesus and the way he can redeem broken stories, the way he can interrupt and break the cycles of family curses and wounds and bring new chapters, and how Jesus can bring good branches out of bitter roots. He can do that. Because by his wounds, we are healed. That's the wonder of the gospel. That in God's sovereign goodness, he can bring good out of that which was meant for evil. He can, in his grace, take that wound that destroys. He can turn that wound into a source of life. That happens in the biggest level through the wounds of Jesus at Calvary. The wound becomes a source of life. But then as we are united with Christ, he does his work, his redemptive work in us. Those wounds, those things can become healed, and we can use them to help heal others. It's just who he is and what he does. It's a process. But he can do it, and he does it all the time. I know that those testimonies are all over this room. I know some of you have stories worse than that one from my grandpa. I know there's other things that have wounded us that seem less significant, but they really affected us. Like it just, we have these stories. But Jesus is a healer and a redeemer, and you better believe he can work through it. If you have some wounds, are you aware of them? Have you tended to them? Because if you ignore them, they will eventually define your story in all the wrong ways. Do you know and believe that as Jesus saves you, he wants to heal your wounds? Men, women, brothers, sisters, he wants to heal your wounds? Did you know that you can invite Christ into those places, into your wounds? He doesn't just tell you, suck it up, move on. You can ask him to come into that place that you've maybe ignored for a long time, that's been slipping out in all kinds of bad choices. And you can say, Jesus, would you come into this wound? Would you walk through this memory with me to bring your life-giving power and your redemption? Did you know you can do that? Did you know that he can place his wounded hands upon your wounds to make you well? What if we just take a little time, simply, gently, to invite him into our stories today and to be open to that journey? To ask him to have his will in these places of our lives. He knows when we're ready. He knows what to do. What if we just invite him in this morning as we get ready to praise him for being our Savior? Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, some people have called you the wounded healer, and that is what you are. We read about in your word how you rose from the grave and you still had those scars in your hands and in your side and in your feet. Maybe to remind us of what you did for us. Maybe to remind us that you came so close to us that you even bore our pain and our suffering. Carry it with us and for us. And we're asking you now, Lord, to move through this room and take those wounded hands and meet people in this room. There's some heavy stuff, Lord. There's some heavy stuff. There's some little stuff that we've just had trouble letting go of. There's all kinds of stuff inside these rocks. There's some stuff that we're not even really fully aware of yet that you've been working on to try and get our attention with, Lord, but I just pray you'd move through this room and show us those wounded hands and remind us that you do want to heal and restore everything, everything. Nothing's too small or too big. And I know for some of us, this is going to take a lot more time, a lot more care. It's going to take some careful guidance and shepherding and an unfolding journey. It's probably not going to all happen at once, but I ask God that you would bring a breakthrough for somebody who needs it today. I ask that the presence of God, the holy presence of God, would just overwhelm people to the point where they could just surrender and let you do your healing work, God. So there could be freedom. So cycles could be broken. Chains could be snapped off. Lame could walk again. Blind could see again. Lives could be changed. By his wounds, you are healed, church. By his wounds, you are healed. Receive his healing today. Receive your healing according to God's will. In the mighty name of our God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.